every Arizona homeowner's best friend.
And it all has to do with you. Thanks for tuning in. It's Rosie on the House, your weekend wake-up tradition.
Inch by inch, row by row, gonna make this garden grow.
Come on around back, Arizona. It is Saturday morning, 8 o'clock, the Outdoor Living Hour, our first of three weekly hours that we broadcast here at Rosie on the House. And our 8 o'clock hour is our Outdoor Living Hour. And if you're following along in the home maintenance calendar, you're expecting to hear about backyard livestock today. But we're actually a little shuffled off of Christmas. It fell on the 25th, so it reshuffled our program a little bit. We'll be doing that next Saturday on the 29th. Today we are talking roses, and we've got Jay Harper in the studio with us. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, wonderful. Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year. Yeah.
Quiet and peaceful, I hope.
So far, so good.
Good.
Yeah, we're just keeping our head down, going to work every day, you know?
And we're talking roses today. We always yes, have we a topic of the week, and we've got a guest in with us, not Justin.
That's my son, though. That's really good. I'm impressed.
Brian Regeer, who is a rosarian. And I have to ask, what does it take to become a rosarian?
Well, good morning. Yeah, being a rosarian is a passion for roses. There's classes that we take. It's several hours worth of classes. Upon completion, you take a test and you become a certified rosarian with the American Rose Society.
That was my question. Who does it? Because you've got the arborist is right. Through the ISA, and you've got Master Gardener through the extension. So this is the
American Rose Society. And the American Rose Society has underneath it regions and then obviously local chapters. The Mesa and Scottsdale, there's different chapters within the area, but it's under the American Rose Society.
And how much are you involved in the Mesa? Is that what?
Yeah, in the Mesa Rose Society, I'm quite involved. Right now, we're pruning roses. We have a large garden at the Mesa Community College, and we're pruning roses there right now. We're planning for an auction that's coming up. We have rose shows throughout once or twice during the year that you can exhibit roses. So yeah, quite involved with that program.
And I hate to admit it, but I honestly have never stopped by to look at the rose garden there, but I've known about it for years, and it's supposed to be like 14,000 roses on campus or something like that.
That's right. It's an amazing garden. It's a great place to go and see, especially the March, April, May time frame when everything's in bloom. It's a beautiful garden to go out and see and take pictures.
And can anyone just walk on the campus
anytime? It's right there on Southern Boulevard, and you just walk right off the sidewalk, and you're welcome to walk around the garden. They have many different ones, the Veterans Garden and different gardens that are available to walk all along Southern there.
How many different varieties of roses?
Oh, there must be hundreds. There's not only the tried and true roses that are there, but there's also the test gardens. So they have test gardens. So if people hybridize roses, they will send them to different gardens throughout the country. They have gardens there with just test roses that haven't been actually introduced to the public. So you can see roses that have never been out in commerce and see those roses that they're testing. They test them 2 to 3 years before they actually prove that they're able to be mass sales.
And the auction that's coming up, is that from the roses that are on the campus?
Actually, the auction that's coming up, those roses come from all different places. We get them from nurseries that are local. We have a nursery out of Mississippi that has sent us 16 roses. Some miniature roses by David Bang, which are striped roses, which are amazing. If you look at their website and K&M roses, they have striped roses. They're little ones. They might have black with red stripes or orange with yellow stripes. They're all over, just all kinds of different ones, as well as some hybrid teas. And then local growers, if you see out on the 303 or different places, those growers have donated roses to us. So what's happening is they're harvesting the roses in the morning. I'm going and picking them up, putting them in pots, and you're having roses that are only been out of the ground for maybe a month, and they're in a pot and ready to take home. So that's a big part of the rose auction.
And this is an in-person auction?
It's an online auction. We did the in-person for a long time, and last year, because of COVID, we were forced to do the online, which now we're able to attract a lot more people from around the valley. Instead of having to come to Mesa Community College and spend your afternoon bidding on roses, not knowing what you're going to take home. Now you can sit at your computer or on your phone, find the roses that you want, and then if you win them, or you win 20 of them or 30 of them, you just come pick them up from Mesa Community College. So it makes it a lot easier. I personally enjoyed it a lot more because I could watch and see when somebody was outbidding me, and I could up that bid and up that bid and have fun with it. So it was a lot more fun to do at home.
And the auction, the money goes to?
The money's all tax deductible. It all goes to the Mesa Community College Rose Society, or Mesa East Valley Rose Society, but a lot of it goes to the garden there at Mesa Community College to keep it up, you know, with fertilizer and everything else that's required for those roses.
And Jay, I don't know, but how many years now that we've been talking about it, but what's the significance about having our rose conversation in January?
Well, I think that's just when roses are most prominent because, A, the nurseries and garden centers and everybody gets their new shipment of roses in usually December or January. B, it's time to prune roses here, basically the month of January, maybe into the middle of February. So it's just when they're a buzz. We've got Christmas, you know, out of the way. Now we're starting a new year, new rose bushes, new varieties for the year, just new shipments. Traditionally, way, way back, roses were all sold, quote-unquote, bare root. So nurseries got a shipment of a bundle of dormant rose bushes. They had been dug out of the ground. All the soil had been washed off the roots. All the leaves had been stripped off. Then nurseries would cut that bundle open, do a finish pruning because a lot of the canes would be broken and roots would be broken because they're mechanically dug with a digger. So they would put their finishing touches on those roses. Then they would typically have built some what we would call now a raised planter bed, a raised vegetable garden, usually out of wood or lumber, a certain height, filled it full of sawdust or shavings, then taken those roses and dug a trench and what we called heeled them in. So they just dug a trench, stuck these roses that they just repruned, put the shavings back around them, and then probably put some kind of colored sign or a name above that row and go on and on and on and on. Typically done alphabetically and then by classification. So all the hybrid teas alphabetically, all the grandifloras alphabetically, all the floribundas, so forth and so on. So that's how when I grew up, and then when somebody would come in and buy a rose bush, and they would invariably pick the one in the back. So you had to climb through all these thorns to get to the back one. You'd pull it out of the sawdust. Then typically they wouldn't like the roots on that one. So you'd replant it, reheal it in, pick another one. Then you would take it, maybe let's just say they got three. They would pick three out that way. You would take them over. We kept a horse trough, and we filled it full of water and Super Thrive and rooting hormones, and we also put some agromycin in that. And we would dunk, as they were picking their roses, we'd throw them in this trough. Then when they were all done, we'd take them, and we had a table, and we had big rolls of brown butcher paper. And we also then in another trough would have a bunch of straw kind of soaking, so it was wet. We'd take those roses, we'd put some wet straw down, we'd put the roses on the wet straw, put some more wet straw around them, and then tie them up in the brown butcher paper. And that's how they would pay for them, and then they'd go home and hopefully plant them right away and not let them dry out. So that's going back many, many years ago. Then it just got to the fact where people wouldn't, you know, they didn't always come in quick enough. The roses would start leafing out. They're in the sawdust bins, which means you got to pot them up. Because if you start pulling out roses out of these bins and they're leafed out, typically those are going to die back and the rose would set back. So what evolved in essence, and as far as I know, I think Berridge is the only one that's still healing. And correct me if I'm wrong, Ryan, but I know they still bring some in and they do a percentage of them healed in the sawdust that very same way. But they pot the majority of their roses immediately as soon as they came in. We bit the bullet years and years ago, and we finally just said, you know what? We're going to pot them all. If somebody wants us to pull one out and look at it, if it hasn't leafed out yet, we can do it out of a pot just as easy as we can out of the sawdust bed. And we quit, in effect, quit selling quote-unquote bare root roses a long time ago. Now, a lot of the mass merchants and chain stores, they would, to avoid all that manhandling and streamline things, they would get what we called a packaged rose. So it was still a dormant rose, but it had already had the shavings or straw wrapped up and sealed in a package, and you'd go into the store and buy them off the shelf in a sealed package deal. There's some drawbacks to there. You can't see the roots. A lot of times they dipped the canes in wax, which then as soon as it got hot, all that wax melted into the cane of the rosebush, so forth and so on. So it was very efficient. Well, obviously, selling them the way most nurseries did in the, you know, let's say before about 1990 wasn't very efficient. But so that all happened in January. It had to happen when it was cold. We did the same thing with fruit trees. So the roses would come in, then the fruit trees would come in, and it's the same process with the fruit trees, or was back in those days. So that's a very long answer to why January we talk about roses. So
who knew there was so much to know about roses? We've got Jay Harper in studio and Ryan Regier, a rosarian, hobbyist, and one of the what would you call yourself? One of the key. What's a rose? You know, you wouldn't say gardener.
I just say a pruner. Rose, a rose lover and rose take rose care.
Of one of the rose geeks.
Okay, I'll take it.
Of the famous rose garden at the Mesa Community College.